This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Saturday right here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Across the faux marble table is Rashad Taylor.
What up, though?
And across the glass is Jordan Schultz. He's got his colors mashed up today because he's got his Ducks hat. Oh, okay, now you got your Ducks shirt on. But then you were also wearing your Mariners jacket.
A really nice Mariners jacket.
And that is the first time I've seen you clash colors like that.
That never happens.
It's a sin in my household.
You really couldn't decide.
To wear two teams' gear.
Outside of the house, I usually do give myself crap for doing that. But A, it's 5 a.m. when I'm leaving. And then B, the Seattle freaking Mariners won the ALDS. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, go Duckies today, obviously. So excited. I think they're going to the CFP. Possibly going to win the Natty because of how talented this roster is.
Oh, he's on a sports high right now.
But my Seattle freaking Mariners are going to the ALCS, baby.
Rams,
so good
possible
morning.
Super Bowl championship.
Let's go.
I mean, it all sounds real good right now.
Do you have a hockey team? Do you have an NHL team that you're high on as well?
Whatever. The Coyotes?
They're going.
Let's go, man.
I don't think the Coyotes exist.
Oh, yeah, they're done, aren't they? They're the Utah.
They're coming back this year. They're
go
coming
Mammoths,
back this
baby.
Year.
Yes.
Yeah, they're coming back this year just to win.
Well,
it's good to... Can I just say, it is really fun to be in with you guys, and it is truly a blessing that I get to be in a forum like this and be celebrating this with gentlemen like you on the radio. This is freaking
I'm not
cool.
celebrating anything.
Special.
I should have been to bed an hour and a half earlier than I was, all right?
Well, ditto.
The only thing that's given me juice right now is that I'm about to see on the television the fine town of Eugene, the fine campus of University of Oregon, the Lillis Business building, the quad there on the University of Oregon campus, and all those students going crazy, just like a young Joe Fisher did 10, 11 years ago when he was on campus, because it's game day down at Eugene, baby.
It is game day.
It's a good day to be a sports fan.
It's a great day to be a sports
fan. Depending
on
your team.
Unless you're a Tigers fan today.
Or if you're a Philadelphia sports fan, you're probably going through it.
In general, like just across the board, like if you're a Philly fan right now, then you're going through it, but you know what? Screw you guys. So, you know, it's one of those things. Philly fans aren't super nice in any sport. Just pick one.
Oh, no.
You know, so, yeah, they're all pretty much, I mean, I'm sure individually, probably great people, probably amazing jobs and teachers and, you know, seriously, they're probably really cool people. But as a collective, Philly fans suck.
I was telling my buddy Tanner the other day, we were doing our podcast, and I was telling him that I have a level of pettiness with Philly that I'm a Cowboys fan, so therefore I absolutely hate the Eagles. But it also trickles into other sports, whereas I don't want the Phillies to have success because I know that, you know, a good chunk of their fan base is also Eagles fans. And I don't want Eagles fans to have any sort of happiness in
good
their
job.
Sports life.
I love this.
So therefore, I do not want the Phillies to ever have any success. So them losing the other night to
I
the
understand.
Dodgers, so, I was stoked about that.
So let me ask you this. How did you feel about the Thursday night game? Because obviously it's the Giants, so I'm sure there's a lot of hatred towards the Giants as well, being in your division. But how did it feel to watch Philly just get crushed by that young New York team?
Yeah, the exciting whites of New York.
I love them. I love them.
Well, two things about that is New York went up like 14-0 or 14-3 or something like that. And believe it or not, Joey Live Bets, he's like, you know what? Let's jump on the Eagles to cover -2.5.
You expert, you.
And that obviously did not happen. So I like to say that it was my price of admission to watch something entertaining. And that was the Eagles absolutely get their asses stomped on Thursday. Like, it was not even close.
By some rookies. Not only some rookies, but some white rookies. Like, ran all over you guys. It was awesome. Like, seriously, I think you guys know this. I have a weird sports fetish for white boys that are cold. Like,
hey, I think
nice,
we all do.
Like, hey, man, you're, yeah, well.
Especially white running
clearly,
backs.
Yeah, white running backs is one of those things, man. Like, if you're good at, like, there's certain positions, we don't have a whole lot of white corners. When they start coming in, watch out, man.
Like Jason Sehorn, oh my God.
Yeah, there's so few that we can kind of remember the ones that were really, really good. So, yeah, man, I thought that New York game was great. I thought Scataboo played awesome. He's so tough. His little legs just keep going. Like, he just keeps trucking forward. He reminds me, this is a lot, but it reminds me a little bit of kind of how Christian McCaffrey runs, as far as he's always trying to get extra yards after contact.
See, if we were going to go white running back comparison, I was going to go Peyton Hillis. Because, of course, you cannot compare him to a black running back. It has to be a white running back.
I'm saying you throw a neck roll on him, he's Mike Allstott. I mean, that's essentially what he is, you know, if you throw that on him. So that's what I was going to say, more Allstott than Peyton Hillis, but he does have a lot of lateral movement that Peyton had. So, best of both worlds, but he's super cold, man.
But yeah, Thursday was nice because I think the Cowboys have had the Giants' number for a long time now. So it kind of makes it easy to root for one of those two teams. And also the Giants, I mean, come on. Like, they're the Giants. Like, they don't get anything nice anymore.
Well, they got something.
They got two Super Bowls. Decade and a half ago
know.
Or whatever.
You know.
Yeah.
We're aware.
Yeah. Okay. Just double checking. But yeah. So watching that on Thursday night, seeing Philly fans, Philadelphia sports fans, literally have their season ended in baseball. And then a half hour later, getting absolutely embarrassed on Thursday night. It was a great night. It was worth the $10 that I lost on my live bet.
Like I said,
it was the price of admission for some entertainment there.
I really like Jalen Hurts. And, of course, like everybody loves Saquon Barkley. He's one of those guys. But
maybe hand the ball off to him. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit. I'm not sure what this offense is this year or what's happening with this team, but I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point.
We will. It is on the agenda today.
Yeah, but it's been a great couple days for just sports. Like, this
October
is the one type of year I love.
It's best month on the sports calendar.
And then NBA starts here in about, what, 7-8 days, something like that? Like, so.
Oh, it's already started for the true degenerates betting on preseason games,
which is,
baby.
You need help. If we're doing that,
there's a number for that.
Yeah, if you're betting on preseason, or if you're betting, can you bet on spring training games?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing?
Dude,
on spring training baseball?
Yeah.
If you want to be stupid
that's
enough
insane.
To. Yeah,
why,
you can.
Go for it.
Yeah. There's all, dude, you can bet on anything.
You can bet on some dudes that are about to be cut in a day and a half.
Why not?
All right.
I sadly bet on the first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, man.
I took the under.
I know somebody you can talk to.
It did not hit.
Great people. You know what I mean?
So sorry.
They're there to help.
No, it's fine. It's not a problem yet. Dude, my buddy, again, he is a savant. He just is on top of everything that he said, like, at one point, he's like, I was really big on NHL goal scores for a while, because apparently some of the bookies and some of the sports books, they wouldn't get the right person who scored the goal. So sometimes after a player scored a goal, they would still be up on the board for any time goal scorer, and you could bet on them even after they scored a goal. So, like, the sports books weren't on top of it. And he said he's like, they missed the number. They didn't see who scored, so they didn't take them off the board. And he placed some bets that got paid out because the books weren't on top of, like, example, like, Ovechkin scores, but the sports book hasn't, they accredited the goal to someone else, or they didn't see who scored. So for like a minute after the goal is scored, the guy is still, Ovechkin's still on the board as an anytime goal, anytime goal scorer. So you jump on it, place a bet. Ooh. And then the sports books end up having to pay out because they didn't take it off in time. So
that's a man. So you got
On top of it.
I'm saying you have to be on top of it. That's one of those things you have to pay super close attention to. Like, you have to look at every trend. You have to look at every single bet. You have to look at every mistake, you know, just to be able to catch that stuff. And most of us aren't as meticulous to sit there and just go through that entire glossary of things you got to do to be good at something.
Yeah, he's
that.
On top of it.
Yeah.
On top
of it. Well, most of the time you're fighting an algorithm nowadays, so that's kind of insane that that even happened in today's modern betting like sphere.
And I think
weird.
I think
but
they've kind of
to them.
I think they've caught on to it where like after someone scores a goal, regardless who it is, they take everybody off the board for like the next minute or two.
Exactly.
So that way that does not happen.
What did I say? We're dealing with algorithms. This sucks. Like, good for them though. That's
Way to play the system.
Yeah, sportsbooks, they're doing
sure.
Fine. Doing
they're getting a lot there. They're getting a whole lot of money, man. They'll be okay without the few hundred or few thousand that your buddy won.
Well, and frankly, good for them for paying that out, because I've seen a lot of sports books that would that kid would win that bet, and they'd be like, we're going to avoid that, actually.
Yeah,
it's
exactly,
like, dude,
yeah.
Screw you.
But yes, it is October. It is best month of the sports calendar. I was saying to Rashad before the show started, because he had one of you mentioned that the NBA is starting up. I don't know if it's Blazers apathy or what, but if you would have asked like 11, 12 year old Joe, like, hey, or told him that my level of care of NBA basketball would be as low as it is now at the ripe old age of 33, I think the young Joe would be very upset. He'd be like, no, there's no way. I loved the NBA back in the day. Like, it, where if the Blazers sucked, I was a brief New Orleans / Charlotte Hornets fan. I had a short stint with them for a little while, and then I realized that they sucked just as much as the Blazers. So it's, I was like, "Well, hell, if I'm gonna
train real,
if I'm gonna root for one of these trash franchises, might as well be my my home
dumpster
base."
Dumpster fire.
But yeah, it's just the NBA. I'm like, nah.
I think there's a lot of things that kind of play into it. One, your team hasn't been very good, mm-hmm. you know, for a little bit. Two, your other team has been really good for the past 20 years, you know,
what
as
team?
Far as the Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so it just makes it easier for you to kind of really focus on.
Well, my Cowboys
have a team that can actually win. The Cowboys.
They haven't sucked. They have just been.
They haven't won, though. That's what you're saying. Cowboys haven't won.
There's a reason they're called the Cardiac Cowboys, all right? It's every week's a roller coaster.
I wonder which fan base has, like, the worst health.
And the worst,
probably, yeah. Seriously, I wonder which fan base.
Yeah, that would be good. I wonder if they've done studies like
has the most like heart attacks or strokes at.
Well,
games.
I would think those knuckle dragging mongoloids over in Philadelphia that eat cheese whiz and steak sandwiches every day of their lives. I think that blood pressure, that the level of diabetes,
the meat sweats,
yeah,
just
running through the city of Philly is probably pretty high.
To be fair, a few of those sandwiches are really good. Just saying, like, never had a Philly cheesesteak. Like, not the ones that the Pats and the Geno's, like the two that are across from each other. Those are trash. But getting an actual one in Philly, they're pretty legit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Damn right I did. Some cheesy eggs right now does sound good. Some cheesy scrambled eggs.
It does. It
breakfast
does.
Burrito action, actually.
No, I need a B&G of biscuits and gravy.
Oh, I was going to say, whoa, what is... But now that makes way more sense.
If you have to ask, my man, you can't afford it. All right.
Yeah. No, you know, honestly, I like biscuits and gravy. Not the biggest fan of them, but I do. If you're going to serve it to me, if that's breakfast, oh, yeah, great. Bring it.
Nice biscuits and gravy.
Maybe
place.
A couple over easy eggs with it. Let's go.
Seriously, like 2 blocks away from here, you got Pine State Biscuits. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Reggie Deluxe.
Yeah. Absolutely. Or get them. Or no, they have actual biscuits and gravy with an extra egg. It's called the Money Ball. Yeah.
What an easy breakfast. Hey, let me put this, you know, some milk, flour, and sausage in this thing and put it over some biscuits.
You know, a very old-timey meal, but still just absolute, I'd say a 3-seed.
You know what else is?
A 3-seed breakfast.
It's up there and doesn't get enough credit, but chicken fried steak. I don't know when the last time you had that was.
It's been a long time, but it should be more, it should be maybe an annual thing. Like once a year, I get me a chicken fried steak.
Man, it should be, you know, and there's some nice gravy with it and everything.
Yeah, all right, we need to stop.
Let's move on.
No, keep talking about food. Make my stomach turn. Like, no. I mean, anyone it's
wants
growling.
To bring
let's
food
go.
To the station, you are more than welcome.
Well, I'm pissed because last night I'm sitting there on the couch, I'm watching a baseball game, and I'm like, all right, well, this should be over here soon, so let me see what I can DoorDash or maybe go pick up once this wraps up. Suffice to say, I didn't eat. I did not go pick up food. I did not have it delivered because the Game 5 matchup of the Mariners and Tigers went on for 4.5 hours, I believe?
Almost five.
Estimated run time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was absolutely preposterous. It got to a point where I was just like, for the love of all things holy, someone just end this, please. And quite frankly, the way that that game was going, now I will say that once you get to the 15th inning, like all bets are off. I don't think you can really go back and say this one thing dictated how that game went. Like there were so many moments where either team could have won and or lost that game. I mean, Mariners had multiple guys on base that they left on base in the extra innings where they grounded into double plays to end it. I mean, the Tigers, I think they left 6 guys on base. At one point, bases were loaded And right before that, Eugenio Suarez had to make a play at home where he threw it right back to home after a little chopper to third base where they were able to tag out the runner. So again, there are so many things that happened in this game to you can't really go and say this is the one thing or these were the major plays that made it happen. But my God, that is a just the game as a whole. That is an all-timer, man. Just no runs being scored the entire extra innings, just waiting for someone to break through, someone to make a big play, someone to get a hit, someone to get on base in advance. If you ask AJ Pierzynski, for the love of God, someone please bunt. You know, it was just there were so many things that happened in that game that made it an all-time classic. And, of course, even more of a classic for Mariner fans out there because they are finally going back to the ALCS after 24 years, Rashad.
Oh, man. What a game. What a series. For real. No, it was one of those things. Like, I remember watching the game at first, and then I'm one of those people, and I've told you guys, like, when I don't like the score or when I get, like, frustrated watching games, I have to turn the channel or do something else. Just for a second, I'm one of those people, like, I have to walk away for a minute and come back, and it's, like, the sixth inning, and then the Mariners are down. I'm like, damn it, this isn't going well. Got to walk away. Come back, Mariners are tied in the game. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then just these amazing innings, the defense for both teams, the pitching for both teams, was phenomenal. You got one on base and then all of a sudden double play. Like, what are you talking about? Or two on base and then as a double play. It's like, oh my gosh, like, how did that happen that fast? Back up. Like, you think every time you thought that this was the inning that, you know, Cal Raleigh or Julio, somebody makes this huge play and all of a sudden, yep, Tigers are up and back and forth and back and forth. And if you were watching that game, like, if you weren't invested by the ninth inning, by the 12th, you were like, okay, let's effing go. What's happening here? I just want somebody to win. Either way, it was going to be a great game. So to be I think this is what's the stat, Jordan? This is, hold on, I just looked it up.
The first time
ever. Oh, for the ALCS.
Yeah, first time ever, yeah. So basically, it's for the first time, like a series is ended with 15 innings.
Yeah, it was the longest game by inning for a series deciding game in MLB history.
I believe
that's crazy.
Yeah, they said, like, that on the broadcast.
That's
last
crazy.
Night. Absolutely.
Again, if you love baseball, then this was the best thing ever. If you're just getting into baseball, then this was the best thing ever. Because I mean, typically, this isn't what baseball looks like in June.
Well, no, because you got the stupid ghost runners.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, so, it would not get this far usually.
So, no, it was really good to see. Like, it was awesome to see. I'm not a Mariners fan, but I live in Portland, and we don't have a baseball team. So that's always been the team. If I did go to a game, it was always to the Mariners because they're 3 hours up the road. So it is super cool to see them in this position. Hopefully they can get the job done and move on to the next round. But they got a team waiting for them that's familiar with this territory and is trying to shut all that party down for the Mariners. So we'll see what it is, man. But either way, I think for tonight and even most of last night, all of last night, you can celebrate, Mariners fans.
Well,
keep celebrating.
This is what it sounded like on Fox Sports as the Mariners walked off the Tigers for the victory.
Canely hoping that maybe a changeup can induce a ground ball here from Polanco to try to send this to the 16th inning. Polanco, with one swing, could end the series. 3-2.
Adam Amin was on his game last night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was pretty damn good. Even when, like, again, some of those double plays happened for the Mariners or Mariners were able to get out of a jam. Like, he was able to – and this is what drives me nuts about some commentators is that it could be, you know, on the TV right now. They're showing the highlights of Washington versus Rutgers. Like, Joe Tessitore could be like, bow down, Washington, what a play. And I'm just like, all right, let's settle down. Like, this is, I don't know if that reaction warrants this game and what it means. No matter what the game is, I feel like Joe Tessitore always has it, like, at an 11. Gus Johnson is like this a little bit as well. Adam Amin, his emotion level for big plays in this game was so heightened that you felt the importance of the moment and Absolutely. What was happening. And I really appreciated how he was calling this game. And dear God, someone bunt for AJ Pierzynski again. Like, that dude, he was driving me nuts, the amount of complaining he was doing about teams not doing certain things during the game or what they were doing. Like, his amount of, like, and I know he is the color analyst of what's going on, but my God, it seemed like every decision was made was the wrong decision, according to AJ Pierzynski.
I mean, for bunting, maybe not ever. I was yelling at AJ Pierzynski, but bunting-wise, I was yelling at my TV agreeing with him. Like, JP, bunt!
Yeah.
Bunt!
And then the Tigers even had a moment, too, where they could have done it as well. But yeah, I move on to the Rick Riz call of the walk-off score for the Mariners.
It has come down to this. It has come down to one pitch. And if Canely misses, it would be a walk-off walk in this classic duel. Here we go, the stretch. Canely has got to throw a strike. The 3-2 pitch on the way. Swung out, line drive, base hit right field. Jorge Polanco with a walk-off single, and the Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. The Mariners win the battle in Seattle in 15 innings. The Mariners win it 3-2. The Mariners will be on their way to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. What an epic game. 15 innings. Jorge Polanco is getting mobbed out in left field.
So the battle in Seattle.
So either way, Polanco, who was having a tough night,
yeah.
Right? He was having.
but
three strikeouts, like, you know, prior to that, like, he wasn't not. I mean, he didn't ground out. He struck out like three times. Like, so to get to that moment, and knowing that really one more ball and we're gonna win the game anyway. You're talking about having pressure, but really none. You know, at all. Only thing you have to do is not strike out. But then again, that's where that pressure comes back in, because you've done all night is strike out, you know? And so for him to get that hit right there to really seal it, again, a walk would have done it for him anyway, which it's already, if you're punching the wall right now, you're punching the air if you're Detroit right now, you know, but how much sadder would that have been if that had been a walk in a walk in a walk off? Like,
well, I don't know if it, I mean, getting a base hit definitely makes the moment much more fun
cooler. Yeah,
but
if that had been the case, like, we have to jump you.
No, I hear you. Like, there was a point when, yeah, I got to a 3-2 count at the end. And I was like, I swear to God, if this game ends with a walk-off walk, I was like, I'm going to be a little pissed.
After you put multiple batters on base by walking them, then, bro, we have to jump you after this is over. If you walk him and they win that way, we have to jump
exactly.
You.
Yeah, and I forget the dude's name for the Tigers that they put in, but there was a feeling that once he came in, I was like, all right, I think we're just about done.
Tommy Canley. Former Yankee last year,
yeah. Because Flaherty, he was doing decent enough. He was kind of getting a little squirrely with his fastball, but he was doing fine while he was in there. And God, how many starting pitchers got put out there last night?
Yeah, can I get in on this analysis, or am I gonna?
No, absolutely not, Jordan.
Like, you guys are going. I'm just like, I'm ready to go here. Like, am I good? Or
go ahead.
No, I'm just. Can I just say I was crying during that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
We know.
Not just last night, but like, if you heard, I need to point out Rick Riz was doing the exact call that Dave Niehaus did, going to the American League Championship. He did it in the same cadence and. Yeah, brought a tear to my eye, especially how embarrassed I was last week after I got owned during that call here on The Fan. But, dude, actually, to your point, Joe, many starting pitchers were used. For the Mariners, man, I think people were expecting Castillo first out of the bullpen after Kirby, but it ended up being break glass open in case of emergency option, Logan freaking Gilbert, right?
Who had never pitched out of the bullpen in his entire MLB career.
Nope, and came in through beautifully. Two innings, of course, there were a couple of hits given up, but I feel like in extra innings, every single inning or almost every single inning except a 1-2-3 by Bizzardo started with a walk or a hit for either team, right? It was just that close the whole way. And you guys haven't even mentioned Tarek Skubal yet. 13 strikeouts through the first six innings for the for the Tigers held the Mariners basically to nothing. If they hadn't manufactured that run,
I would have left him in longer, man. I don't care about the 100 pitch.
I'm gonna let him go.
This is the last game of the year. Like, hell, let him throw 120.
I was confused they pulled him because let him go.
Well, same with Kirby too.
He was on, so I was thinking about the whole Scooble thing. He was on 4 days of rest, which is, you know, almost five, like your normal, you know, normal rest during the regular season is, but he had only thrown it max in his career, I think AJ said, or one of the broadcasters on the game said 108 pitches ever. Like, and he was at 99, so he was getting close. Maybe they could have brought him back out for the seventh, but I think even AJ Hinch in the postgame said that, like, that exuberance and that, you know, rush of whatever, adrenaline, it just, his emotion at the time kind of reflected where the game was at, and it just kind of signaled the fact that he was probably done. But at that point, that, I think that's what I said on primetime, is like, I was so excited to see them get to somebody after Scooble. We knew they weren't going to get to Scooble, right? The one run was a gift, and I was pretty scared after Kerry Carpenter hit that other one, but man, they grinded it out, guys. Leo Rivas on his birthday. I mean, Mitch Garver, who would have thought that he would have had an important RBI in this series at all? Josh Naylor stepped up with the daddy strength. He went 3-for-6. Polanco, you're right. Rashadi had a horrible night, man, but stepped up with the game-winning hit. Like, it's just every single person on this roster contributed in some way, and I think the pitching is some of the best in baseball. Now, how tired will these guys be in Toronto? Well, hopefully they get woo. But, oh my God, go Mariners. This is amazing. I could keep talking about this for like another hour. So I won't. I'll give this back to you. I apologize.
Well, it was a fun game. Like I said, I omitted dinner because of it. Seattle Mariners owe me a dinner at this point. You owe me some potty Thai food or something like that.
Actually, that's exactly what we had last night. We did not omit dinner. Yeah, some Pad Kee Mao.
Ah, yeah. Very nice.
Very good, yeah.
I guess a fresh hop IPA was my dinner.
I mean, no cereal?
Tons of carbs.
Damn. No, actually, I had cereal at like 2 a.m. the night before.
Cereal for dinner is still go-to.
I woke up in the middle of the night and had myself a nice bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, okay.
That was quite tasty.
Very good.
I haven't had cereal in a long time. That bowl hit.
Yeah. Had some Cinnamon Toast Crunch a little while ago. I was like, man, you know, that's usually, you know, the kid eats it. And man, had some of those. Like, man, this ain't half bad. I forgot how good this was.
All right. We're talking about food again.
We got it started
and ended this segment.
We got to stop.
You guys are awesome.
Was this more than just one game in the NFL schedule? We get to that next here on Sports Saturday. But first, Schultzy with a Sports Center update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In sports, in the NFL, a lot of coaches, players, fans, they try and take the, hey, it's just one game approach, right? Hey, it's just one game, you know? Doesn't mean more, doesn't mean less. It's just one game, all right? Especially in the middle of an NFL season, you know, week six, week five, whatever we're in right now. Hey, it's just one game. Am I crazy to think that the Thursday night football game where the Giants absolutely dominated the Eagles has some repercussions to it that are more than just one game? Like, that felt like a complete vibe shift on both of those teams that is going to have a lasting effect more than just a week. Like, the way that the Giants look right now, not just, again, right now the exciting whites of Jackson Dart and Cam Scadabaugh are one thing, but that defensive line with Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau and Abdul Carter, that sexy Dexy out there, that game had some vibes where, again, it wasn't just the Giants winning. They were dominant the entire game. They put up 20 points in the first half. They never really let the Eagles have a chance to come back in that game. And the Eagles offense, again, now for the second straight week, just with some head-scratching decisions, letting Saquon Barkley, I think he doubled his carry total this time. I think he had 12 carries this time instead of six. How about that? Wow. Really feeding him the rock.
Run the ball.
And then, of course, the passing woes of the Phillies offense still are there. I just felt like that game, that was a vibe shift for both of those franchises that are, it's going to be felt for the next few weeks, if not the rest of the season, that the Giants are a different team. This is a different iteration of them, and that the Eagles are going to start showing the colors, the true colors of what a lot of people felt like they were, that they were a good team that was getting lucky in one possession games, that had a very milquetoast offense, and are missing a lot of guys on their defensive unit from last year, and that they're, again, going to start showing their true selves here as the rest of the season goes on.
How do you go from being the most dominant run offense in the league to all of a sudden you don't even try to run the ball? I'm trying to understand what the shift in philosophy has been between the end of the Super Bowl last year and the beginning of the season this year. Like, they've looked, if we're being honest, they've looked discombobulated for most of the season.
Yes.
Starting game one.
It's just they've won games, and so it's kind of like, you know, masked them in how they've looked, where it's just like, well, we got the win, so what? You know, we win.
Yeah, starting game one with Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
like starting there, like for seriously, like, and then he gets
that's
ejected.
My quarterback.
He gets ejected before the game starts. And it's like, this is how the season's going to go. And then you're winning games, but your star receiver, your star running back are like, we're not as involved in the offense. On the other side, Jalen Hurts looks as dominant as you wanted him to look over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, since he's been a starting quarterback, people have wanted to see this part of Jalen Hurts. And I think him being successful has come at the detriment of guys like A.J. Brown and obviously Saquon Barkley. And so they have to figure out what's going on. I don't know. They need to they've already tried the players meeting. That hasn't worked because they come
well,
out.
If you ask A.J. Brown, that meeting didn't happen.
Yeah, so, right. Like, yeah. So
therefore, I mean, that just adds to it, though. So, like, what the hell is going on?
Why deny that? So stupid.
I don't know. Because, you know, players are weird. You know, what do you mean? Who told you?
We don't need to have a players meeting. Like, yeah, you do. But.
And because the thing is, they're still 4-2. So it's not like they're not the Chiefs to where they're really struggling right now, or they've started to turn it around. Obviously, hopefully for Chiefs fans, they've turned it around. But I do still think there are some issues there, and I'm not quite sure with that. I don't know if it's who's making the calls on the offense, but either way right now, like when Saquon Barkley, who's the best running back in the league, isn't getting the ball anymore, then he should have 20 touches every game. At least 20 touches. The fact that he's getting 12-6 is insane to me. Insane. Yeah. There's a reason you're not winning games right now. It's because you're not doing what the Eagles are used to doing, which is really establishing the run.
Yeah, it was just, again, it'd be one thing if, they're 28th in the league in passing yards, 26th in the league in rushing yards. Like, that is... The passing yards I'm not exactly surprised about, but the being in the bottom 5 or 6, 7, whatever, in rushing yards in the NFL, that's pretty eye-opening, man.
I am surprised that they're that bad at passing because they do have A.J. Brown. They do have Devontae Smith. They do have a Dallas Goddard.
Yeah, but
they've got pieces to where they shouldn't be that bad.
They should not be, but again, we've seen this team the last 6 weeks now, their inability to throw the ball. I think Jalen Hurts has had one decent game throwing the ball this year where they were able to get over 300 yards passing. Outside of that, like, he had the one game where he threw for like 101. I think the season opener he threw for like 150. So not exactly shocking, but you're right. It's like, not only do you have those pieces on the outside, he's been going to Dallas Goddard a lot this year too. Like, you have weapons and you are just not utilizing the talents of this offense. And I wonder if that's how they feel about Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts can't dissect the defense just throughout the game, where it's like, hey, let's let Jalen just step back in the pocket and just cook for the whole game. Like, I don't think they feel like he can do that. I think that offenses show their belief in their quarterback through their game plan. And I think that is a part of this Philadelphia Eagles offense, where they just do not trust Jalen Hurts to drop back in the pocket 35 to 40 times a game and be able to just shred a defense. I just don't think they think they can do it. I think a lot of people are in agreement on that in Philly and outside.
I also think Jalen Hurts really is one of those guys that he really relies on his legs to do a lot of his work offensively. Like, so that's really where he's most dangerous. Like, he doesn't, as soon as the pocket starts breaking down, he finds a little crease and he takes off and he can get 4 or 5 yards out of it. And if your defense is lucky, he only gets 4 or 5 yards out of it. But if he finds a deeper crease, then he can go for 15, 20 yards at a time, you know, if you really give him that type of space. And so he's the type of guy that you have to put extreme pressure on him. And I think teams are getting that. And so he's taking off running. If you're going to get beat by Jalen Hurts, I guess you want to be on the ground because you know he's not going to get 200 rushing yards on you. So, I don't know. I guess teams are kind of daring him to throw at this point, and they're, you know, it's working.
Saquon Barkley this year, 95 carries for 325 yards. That's a 3.4 yard average per carry. And he has only 3 touchdowns. Cam Scadabo, he had 3 touchdowns in the game the other night. Like that, I mean.
He had himself a game.
And kudos to him. Going into this season, as far as one of the rookies, I was most intrigued by to see how quickly his game would translate to the NFL or how quickly he would have an impact. He was one of the guys coming in this year where I was like, I'm intrigued to see what that looks like. And, you know, fortunately enough for him, there were some injuries in that running back room to where he started getting some work early on in the season. And he's taken the opportunity and ran with it, no pun intended. That dude is an absolute – he is just a football meathead and is going to run through a wall every carry, turn the legs. Like, he has just been impressive as hell. And Jackson Dart, I mean, the dude's got swagger. He brings a level of confidence and swagger to this team that has them feeling like they can go out and do anything. And you can tell that Brian Daboll absolutely loves him. I mean, leading up to him being the starting quarterback, he had said as much, that he just loves the guy. and to the point where he's trying to go into the medical tent to get him back in the game.
Yeah, because what's going on? You okay, Jack? All right, man. I'm out here if you need me.
Russell Wilson throws one pass and he starts cursing out the team physician, just being like, "Where the hell is Jackson?
What are you doing? Hurry up!
Get him out here, please!"
Yeah, and the crowd boos. Russ throws one pass, boos. Like, man, what did I do? Wasn't even my fault. All right. Jeez. So no, I hate Russell Wilson.
Again, I just think this is one. This isn't just one game. I think this is something that will have a longer lingering effect for both of these teams, where the Giants are going to be able to rattle off some wins. I think they have confidence, and again, they feel like they are much more capable on both sides of the ball to be able to be a competitive team in the Eagles right now. It's back-to-back losses, and you're wondering, scratching your heads if you're not just Eagles fans, but just the Eagles in general, as far as what the hell do we do? Like, where do we go from here? So, again, something to definitely keep the eye on as the season plays out. Something that we do not have to keep our eye on anymore. We get to that next year. Sports Saturday. Fan Sports Network. All right, we got College Game Day on the TV right now. Big old game in Eugene today. Number 7, Indiana. Kurt Cignetti, the Hoosiers, taking on the number 3, Oregon Ducks. We will have our eyes on this game. And I am officially declaring that something we do not have to have our eyes on anymore, whether you are a fan of this team or not, the Oregon State Beavers, you can officially check out and not care about what's happening with that team anymore for the rest of the season. I was here last week. I was saying this is the week they get the win. It's App State. Like, come on. Come on, Beavs. And they, you know, I might retract my statement. You can watch Oregon State just to see how creative they're going to be in losing this game this weekend, because that is what has been giving me the entertainment factor with this Oregon State team, is that they're finding new ways to lose every single week, and it's pretty amazing. Like, it's like I can't even be like disappointed in them anymore. I'm almost impressed at this point. It's like watching the Arizona Cardinals, not to go off on a tangent too much, but if you watch the Arizona Cardinals last 3 weeks, they find a new way to lose a game every single week. And that's what's happened in Oregon State, and now you're 0-6. You lost to App State in a game which, again, theme of the year, you should have won that game. You had every reason to win that game. The way that you played, the way that game transpired, you should have won that game, and you just didn't. And at this point, you know, you are one loss away from obviously not being bowl eligible, which, you know, good luck making that happen. I can't do it. I'm checked out. I can't pull myself to pull their game up, watch their game, care about what happens. If they get a win this year, they get 2 wins, great. If it's against Lafayette, who they're playing later in the year, they win one of the games against Washington State, since they play them twice, whatever. I just, you know, feel terrible for the fan base, but hey, for your mental health, for everyone, everything out there, go to a pumpkin patch or something today.
Hey, Jordan, what were you doing in 1991?
I was 2 years
pooping
old.
His pants.
So yeah, I was probably essing myself or sucking on a rattle.
Joe,
I was not alive.
Yeah,
in 1991.
Because that's the last time the Beavers were this bad.
Is that like
the
Jerry,
worst? This is the worst start.
Pettibone.
The Jerry Pettibone days. Is
I
that what we're...
believe it. Ooh. Is not sure, can't remember, but this was is the worst start to Beavers football since 1991. You were 2, you weren't born. I think I was a first grader, second grader, or something like that.
So also crapping your pants,
and that was Pettibone's first
just about
season.
Definitely picking boogers at that point. But here it is, and this Beavers team, who has the worst special teams in college football. Offensive struggles out the wazoo. Like, we just can't figure out which way is up if you're a Beavers fan. Offense, you know, defensive struggles all over the place. Like, I don't know. It might be time to shut it down and start over. Do a whole, if you guys ever seen Necessary Roughness,
yes,
with Sinbad, that's what they need to do. They need to hold a tryout and go find
Is that the
Paul
one where
Blake.
He's a genie?
No. No, this is this is the one that's he. And he was never a genie, actually. You
I know.
Which is, you know, that
yes, he was Rashad.
He was never a genie.
He was a genie. All right. Yeah, I don't know when or where, but no, he was a genie at some point.
No, it's about the some team in Texas that's terrible. Their team got all these infractions, and so they have to go and have an open tryout for, you know, guys, almost like the replacements, you know, type thing. But the replacements end up winning at the end, and so does this team. But I don't know if that's going to happen with this Beaver squad right now. They're just not fun to watch, and when you watch them, they're going to find a way to nest the bed. I feel really bad saying that, just because we do praise Oregon all the time. We're going to spend the next hour really talking about the Oregon Ducks and their—
maybe half hour.
Okay, we're going to spend half of an hour talking about the Oregon Ducks and this game and everything. But this Beavers team, man, there's no reason to talk about them. It's unfortunate, but there's just nothing good to say.
Well, it's this combined with the administration, which, like, clearly we all know they're just waiting this out until December 1st, which, again, I don't know if it's the buyout is less or it's only $1 million, whatever the case is.
They want to save some money.
Yeah, they're trying to save some money, and it's just at this point, not only should Bray be gone, Scott Barnes should be gone as well, but it seems like the just school administration as well is, like, completely checked out of what's going on over there.
Yeah, how do you take them seriously as a fan if they don't take themselves seriously?
Yeah, it's rough. But again, if there is one reason to keep your eye on them, it's because they will find a way to lose this game today in a very fun, creative way.
Can I swear to God if
no,
I hear—
No, swear. I want to hear you
no,
swear.
No, not—
Come on, baby.
Not about this. It'd be about the damn Mariners. But if I hear another Beaver fan be like, well, our baseball program's good, do you— All right, guys.
No one cares.
Yeah, baseball for like 4 days in April, May is like a big deal, all right? No one effing cares. And how many recruits, how many extra students, how many dollars has the baseball program brought in? I'm sure it's probably in the hundreds of thousands over the years. Like, guys, college football moves the needle. And if this freaking athletic department or whoever takes over after Scott Barnes hopefully doesn't understand that, then the Beavers will never be successful again in this landscape.
No, I've heard— – so I have a buddy of mine who will be on our show at some point, is a huge Beavs fan. Oh, we've talked about this, man. But this my man DJ Jupiter, huge Beavers fan, went to Beavers alum. And, you know, we were talking about the athletic director and everything like that. And Beaver fans seem like they're kind of split on Scott Barnes. Like, there's some are like, man, you know, it's not really his fault. And others like, get him out of here. He's got to do something to change the trajectory of where this team is going. So I think people are kind of split. And when you have that like this, you know, Scott Barnes is one of those polarizing guys especially for a lot of people in the Pac-12 or for what was, you know, the Pac-12. So I don't know, man. I think that's where it starts. It starts with leadership. And the reason you don't hear a whole lot about Oregon's athletic director is because they're usually in a good spot of winning. And so you don't need to really talk about them. But we end up talking about Scott Barnes a lot because Oregon State is trash at everything outside of baseball.
Is there a philanthropist or someone willing to drop $50 million on the program by chance? Like that dude from Stanford earlier this week?
I don't know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of engineers. Isn't like one of the richest people from Oregon, Oregon State?
The CEO of NVIDIA.
Isn't he an Oregon State alum?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Like, I mean,
but I don't think he cares about football.
No.
It's funny. He probably got picked on by jocks. Growing up in high school.
Why would I help you?
Yeah, and then, now that he has all this money, all the jocks are asking him for money. He's like,
need my help again, huh? First it was algebra, now it's this.
Here's a GPU. How about that? I'll donate some NVIDIA graphics cards to you guys.
But that's what it's going to take. It's going to take Uncle Phil or an Uncle Phil-like character, you know what I mean, to come in to Oregon State to really change their fortunes and change the way people see them. Right now, they're just seen as... Not even little brother, like almost like a distant cousin now from U of O. Like Oregon is such a juggernaut at this point for their jerseys, for their marketing, for the campus, for everything that they have. And Oregon State is like, hey, we play football too. We have a baseball team. They're pretty good.
We're giant killers when we're a good football team. Like, and I think I said something similar a couple of weeks ago. Like, guys, the top of Oregon State's success, like even when their football program was good, was knock Oregon off, you know, get to a bowl game and maybe be in the top 10. Like, hopefully. They were never trying to compete for a national championship. They never could.
It's been a long time.
And in the last 20 years, the level and the money, whatever, guess what? Oregon has vaulted to the top. Oregon State didn't. Money, no money. you guys couldn't get as good of a players, and unfortunately, the people that are running things, as you guys are saying, just didn't care. Oh, let's make another legacy hire. Trent Bray's not going to work out. Maybe we need to go bring Mike Riley back.
Again, that one I'm going to give Beavers fans a pass because literally there were former Oregon players, and I said this a week or so ago, there were former Oregon players that wanted the Ducks to hire a man of Oregon a couple of years ago. So the whole, you know,
and Rob Mullins,
don't move Oregon State. It's like, well, let's be real.
Rob Mullins didn't listen, though.
Yeah, I know, but there was literally former players at Oregon, former guys that were in the locker room that said that they wanted Oregon
I know.
To do that.
That's why aren't athletic directors or GMs, bro. You make a great point, but like you don't have to listen to the players.
And that's also why they eventually settled on somebody who wasn't an Oregon guy to be able to kind of change that and everything. And I think until Oregon State gets out of their way and gets a person that really wants to be in Corvallis, really has a plan for this football team, really is able to recruit something and spend some of that money that Oregon State has to bring some talent here, it's going to be a while.
All right, we're going to move on to hour number two. We got a comment on the YouTube chat. Worst morning show ever, talking Seattle sports and Beavers. Know your audience. Well, Mr. Dallas Berry, if you just want to go ahead and message us what you would like us to talk about, just give us a list of your teams, and you know, we'll talk about what you want to talk about on your clock and your watch, okay? So now I'll make sure, send me your email, and you can just give me the show rundown next week, too. How about that? Sound good?
I mean, it works.
Yeah,
we love ideas.
First time the Mariners make the championship series in 24 years.
How dare you talk about a 15-inning ALDS
the most
game
historic
base
of baseball game in postseason history? Like,
I'd be interested.
No big deal.
Yeah, I want to see what the ratings on that game were, because I'm assuming most people that were watching sports at all last night ended up watching that game.
Yeah, listen, I was like going back and forth that and the Washington-Rutgers game, the South Florida-North Texas game.
Those were big ones.
Which, that game had some playoff implications, the South Florida-North Texas game, but yeah, I sure enough turned both of those off, and I was solely locked in on that Mariners game last night.
Coming up next, Fighting Illini. Let's talk about them.
No, we are going to talk about the game in Eugene, Ducks, Indiana, number 3 versus number 7, top 10 matchup down in Autzen as we are watching College Game Day here, and Matt Kearney is singing I Left My Heart in Oregon to the serenading the students on campus there. We get to this matchup next here, hour number 2, Sports Saturday, right here on the Fan Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry.
With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.